Okay, we have another episode here for you on how to plan an awesome virtual event. We're taking you behind the scenes with tips and strategies, letting you know where we fell down and where we had our lessons learned, plus all the things we think we did fabulously. So learn from us, and I hope you really enjoy this. As a reminder, this is part three in our three-part series on how to set up a virtual event. Please go back and listen to part one and part two, where we share a ton of extraordinarily valuable information and pull back the curtain on how we ran our virtual event. Okay, let's get started where we left off. Let's finish out roles and responsibilities with Crescent Events. So one of the brilliant things with doing the event that we all sat in on to learn about events, was that I recognized they did a behind the scenes and did the video camera of the people behind the scenes doing some of the tech work. And I was like, oh, I know that guy. And I sent him a DM on Facebook, and this is Joe. I sent Joe a DM on Facebook, and I'm like, where are you? Like, I didn't know. Like, I forgot. I mean, I knew, but I didn't know. Like, it just wasn't top of mind. And so I was asking about, well, what would it take to do it at the studio, where the studio was, what it would take to do it at the studio, and whether they could do it in my apartment. And, you know, I was like trying to figure it out. And so Joe and I had a bunch of conversations. He spec'd out a great setup for us. And then I told him that we were doing this other marketing initiative and it would be great to have the stuff early. And he wrapped that into the price point, and they just went the extra mile. Now, was it an investment? Absolutely, you guys. Okay. Absolutely. Like, you could do this sitting at your desk and not have a big tech, elaborate tech setup, right? But it allowed us to have really good video. It allowed us to have a stage-like backdrop experience. It allowed us to do slides and go back and forth. And of course, and it had me not being the one managing it. So just a higher level, but you know, I didn't have anyone on staff who could do that. Now, Wendy probably has the knowledge of how to do that, but she wasn't local and we needed someone local, and COVID times, and I'm sorry, that wasn't going to happen, and blah, 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 right? For various reasons. So they came and did this incredible setup. And I will tell you that we did all this marketing work ahead of time that was doing these live trainings, and we'll go into that in a bit, but we had the setup for that. And Ashley was doing it locally with Wendy doing it remotely for that training. And we used not Zoom, another app for that. It didn't work out as well. Okay. Hire experts. Crescent Events has been doing this for years, and they're schooled on all the tech. And sometimes, like, we would be troubleshooting something with them, and they were great that way, but they weren't in the building, if you will. And you can't troubleshoot everything that way. So it was really important to have them on site and being able to do everything. And they really nailed it. The other thing on the tech side that I will say is, I realized from that event that we sat in on, they had a tech issue with the power going out, even at this great, amazing studio. And I was thinking, oh, geez, just a few weeks ago, there was a big storm here. And like the power went off for like 10 hours that day. We need a friggin' generator. Like, I'm buying a generator. And we ordered a generator from Amazon, and you know, and Wendy's on it. She's like, you need gas. And I'm like, oh, gas, small detail. So gas can on, you know, on the balcony, Ashley's filling it with gas. We didn't need it. But if something had happened, we would have still been able to go on, because that would have sucked. So these are the little details there.
Behind the scenes too, we had a whole communication plan just in case that happened that we luckily did not have to use, but we had that all set up as well. Like, okay, Ashley sends the distress call and then here's what happens. Like, you know, this message gets sent by this person. This message gets sent by this person. This goes here in the social groups. You know, we had all of that planned just in case.
Very good point. Like we had pre-written messages that we just had to fill in, like, we'll be back at such and such a time. This is the ETA. This is what's happened. But we didn't have to, we were thinking in advance, like, if that happens, we don't want to lose 15 minutes figuring out what we need to do or even a half an hour or whatever it is. So that was really important. Okay. The next thing I want to cover for us is marketing and then sales, both. So marketing, we had 3.5 weeks to fill the room, so to speak, fill the virtual room. And we had a high target in terms of the number of people that we would like to attend and have participate in the virtual Unstoppable Woman Summit, which, you know, they're always fabulous. And how do we do that in 3.5 weeks? How do we activate around that? And we have a lot of experience in terms of bringing people to in-person events because we do those regularly. And you know, we're building our strategies. We're building our marketing. They build each time we iterate and better our best. So it's an evolving process, absolutely. But we do know how to do that to an extent for in-person events. And we thought, oh, what if we did something additional for this virtual event? And I got this marketing bug in my bonnet, bee in my bonnet, and thought, okay, we're going to have this video crew here for the 3-day event. What if we had them come for the 3 weeks beforehand? And we did a bunch of awesome trainings for people in advance of the virtual event that led people, gave people a taste of what we were doing and led people to that. So we started a whole marketing campaign on that included Facebook ads, which is not, you know, it's not terribly difficult, but it's also not something you just blink your eyes at and it's done. There's a lot of copy that needs to be written, tested and tweaked, graphics, audience, figuring out audience, who's managing them, what's the spend, you know, and there's a lot that goes into Facebook ads and there's a lot that's a mystery to it, even for the experts, to be honest. And I've worked with a lot of people who are experts in this arena, and it's a challenging arena, even for the experts, because things are changing all the time. And you have to, here's the lessons learned here. You have to give yourself enough time to test and tweak, which we really didn't have enough time to do. And there was testing and tweaking both on the Facebook ad side, but also on the tech side in terms of the app that we were using to do the live trainings and our video equipment, because the lighting changed in the home. It wasn't like a built-in studio. And so there was a lot of trying to fine tune that. How do we adjust the cameras, the right angles, all sorts of things around that. And I have so much more to say on this, but I want to see if Sarah has any more recollection in terms of the tech side of things. What were some of our challenges with that? I know that the lighting was the biggest aspect, but do you remember other things? It feels like a blur to me.
Yeah. So since we'd not done a virtual event before, and we'd not done marketing in this fashion where we had, I want to mention, because you did not mention, all of those trainings leading up to it were also live. So in those 3 weeks, while we were also planning for everybody to come to the virtual summit, we were in addition, you know, setting up all the logistics and for everybody for these live trainings, which we were doing, what, four a week?
Yeah, I think we did a total of 9. And let me just acknowledge that for a moment. That was a huge amount of time we spent. Every time there was set up, every time there was, you know, at least 3 people, you, Wendy, and Ashley needing to be on call, working the tech, working behind the scenes, there was a ton of, you know, campaign type activity that had to be set up, meaning, you know, when do the emails go out? When do the reminder texts go out? It's not nothing to do these, and we were doing 9 of them. And that's a little bit insane, okay? So the ultimate place that we got to was, we're going to do this as more of an evergreen, be obvious about it being evergreen, not pretending that we're doing something live and making it evergreen, but doing an evergreen training, because the training itself was a great training. But that was also a really interesting aspect, Sarah. And then I will hand the mic back over to you, because I know it just like took over there. You know, my training, there were times where it was better, and there were times where, you know, it was like not a good, that was not a good, like I dialed that in somehow, that I was, and that's not my expectation for myself. That's not the standard for myself. And there was something about the futzing with all the tech that really threw me off my game a lot in terms of like being on for those live trainings. And that was fascinating to me, that it would have, I would allow it to have that level of effect on me, but it really shifted, you know, how much we covered. What was also interesting was same topic, 9 different trainings. Like I said different things in each training, and, you know, that just shows you that it never comes out the same way. And if there is something about coming to something live, you hear it differently because it's coming out differently. I'm, you know, I might be teaching the same material, but I'm emphasizing different points, calling different things out. So you could have come to all 9 of those trainings and learned different things. So that was also interesting. Okay, back to you.
Absolutely. And on that note, I mean, the very first one that we did, from the moment we decided we're going to do this summit, but we're going to do these live trainings leading up to it, we had less than a week to set that up. So you had the tech guys come in and they set your whole apartment up and turned it into this incredible studio. And we had Wendy working remotely saying, you know, tweak this lighting, tweak that. And we had so many calls where it was like, hey, can you just jump on and look how this, and see how this looks? Can you see how this looks? Lighting was definitely the challenge there. The struggle there was very real. And we didn't get that worked out for the first few trainings, because I would hop on and be like, why is it gray again?
And let me say that it wasn't that we hadn't purchased extra lighting or put the time and energy into it. We had, what did we have, like 9 or 11 lighting kits? We had so many lights.
Okay.
And yes, if you have 11 lighting kits, you have to turn the AC down to 60 degrees, and everyone else is miserable, but you who are in front of the lights will not be sweating. Okay. And that was a mistake. One day we didn't do that, and it was like, that is never happening again. Right. But, you know, it was a huge amount of time and effort. Part of the lighting was the settings on the camera, like needing to be adjusted. And that was, we mentioned this previously, you know, calling our tech guys who are wizards at this, them showing us how to do it remotely, but missing like one small step in it, even though we're like screen sharing and got the video share going, it's not the same thing as having someone on site. And because when they were on site, they were like, oh, this is how it works. It's all done. And it took, you know, 15, 20 minutes when they were on site versus an hour of futzing, you know, and trying to make it work and not having it work and all of that stuff. Okay.
Right. And for that first one, we did the run through like 20 minutes before we were scheduled to start. And I think that put everyone in a little bit extra stress mode. I know Wendy was stressed because she's all into how things look visually. And she was like, it's not going to look good, and they're making me nervous. And, you know, like I hopped on and I was like, oh gosh, the timing is making me very nervous. Like, my concern was that you were going to be in like troubleshooting mode and not in teaching mode. And I think that there was a little bit of carryover, because I definitely noticed in that first one, your energy was absolutely off from where it usually is. Absolutely. It was still a good training, but it was not your typical just fucking outstanding training.
So let's talk about that, because I think it's a really important point. So after every training, by the by, Sarah and Wendy and I, and sometimes Ashley and sometimes Steph, would get on a lessons learned, like, how did it go? What did you think? What's your feedback? You know, like, tell me what you're seeing on the other side of the camera, because I can't see it. And after that first one, you know, Sarah, who's like Miss Honesty, she's like, that sucked, right? Like, your energy was totally off. I'm like, yep, you're absolutely right. And maybe the audience couldn't tell, but Sarah knows my standard. Okay. And what caused it was that I can't remember what the tech issue was, but, and we weren't necessarily doing the run through. We were doing a second run through. We had done a run through the day before. Okay. But then we set something up and it wasn't working that next day. So that's two really important points. You do the run through the day before, you have to do it the same day, especially with new tech. And, you know, if one thing shifts, you know, we like basically unplugged a computer and plugged it back in and everything got effed up. I don't know why. I can't explain it. We could ask someone else, but we couldn't, you know, we were like phoning a friend, and Crescent Events was, Joe was on the line with us and like trying this stuff. And I'm like basically hanging up on him. I'm like, I got to get on, like, we're going live. See ya. Love you. Bye. Click. Right. And that through, like, that's not how I do business. That's not how I like to do business. Sure. There's a certain amount of urgency that I do create, and I will raise my hand to that, but like not 20 minutes before you go live. Like, that is not acceptable in my world. And it was no one's fault. Okay. That like, part of this is like, you got to know that if you're trying something new, there's going to be, and you don't have the right experts, and even with the right experts, it can be challenging. So yeah.
Right. Cause you're absolutely right. We did have it set up the day before, and then we started 20 minutes before that first live and we turned everything on. And I don't remember what the issue was either, but I remember we were all like, oh no. And we were all scrambling last minute, and especially Ashley, since she's on site. And I know that you had Joe on the phone, and we just couldn't get it fixed in time.
Yeah. Now, again, nobody's fault. Like, I don't think anyone dropped the ball on that. I don't remember it being a drop the ball. It's just, yeah. You know, tech is weird. Tech is just weird sometimes. It's quirky. So, okay. So the pulling the lesson out of that, from a marketing standpoint, that was a great strategy. Was not something that we should have necessarily, like, should. I don't like that word. In 2020 hindsight, it would have been better for us to put our energy into our existing well practiced marketing, connecting sales strategies, and not do something new. Now, that being said, there was a lot of benefit for doing this new thing. It didn't necessarily give us the benefit that we wanted in terms of ticket registrations for the event, but it did give us a lot of great ideas for an ongoing campaign, and we're like 1,000 times ahead of the curve because of that. So it's not like it wasn't worth it. It just didn't give us the results in the time period that we wanted. So law of gestation there at play.
Well, and one of the things from a marketing perspective that I want to mention, just like you said, every one of those recordings were different, and some were, you know, better than others. And for me, I'm always thinking, how can we repurpose content? How can we repurpose content? And those were all recorded. So, you know, we came up with, like, let's take the best one, because we did this 9 times, and let's figure out how we use that one.
Right. As an evergreen. And then the other ones, you know, we'll probably pull social media snips from them, little audio clips that stand on their own as a way of like bringing content to people and getting our message out there and all of that. So
absolutely,
it can definitely be it's not a waste from that perspective. So the other part about that was that it became abundantly clear that having a white background did not work. Like, it just, nothing popped. It was like fading away. We thought it was the lighting, but we couldn't really get it to work. And I'm someone who really likes clean, white, you know, fresh, modern setup. So we had already ordered drapes for the event, but they were going to take 3 weeks on rush to get to us. So they were coming barely in time. And And for people who don't know what drapes are, if you go to a event on stage, usually there's draping behind the stage to make it look a little bit more finished and for things to pop. Not always, but often. So Crescent Events came to the rescue, and we rented drape from them for the live event, because we ended up finding out that the place that we ordered the drapes from didn't recognize in the order that it was a rush production, even though we paid for rush production, and wasn't going to get to us anywhere near when we needed it. So the marketing initiative that we had was actually great from the perspective of showing us how important it was to have a great background. And so we ended up renting the drapes. Again, an investment. People who have followed my teaching for a long time know that one of the reasons that I think it's really important to make bank in your business or your career is that it allows you to do things. Just start noting all the investments that we've made here, okay, to pull off this event. You need to have the cash flow and the clarity about how to create cash flow for you to pull off these things. Now, again, you can do it at different levels. You don't have to do a full stage setup, but we are a company that loves doing in-person events, and we wanted to give as much of the feel of an in-person event as we could. So we set up the stage. The black drape looked gorgeous. It really made things pop instantaneously, just up-leveled the look. We did get we purchased a table with drape, so that it looked very at event. You know, this is what I have at my events. And we purchased a director's chair.
Custom director's chair, which looked amazing.
Love that. Didn't that look good? That was worth it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we got a custom chair, just a little something for the background, not too busy, but, you know, a little bit of branding. I didn't sit in that chair at all, maybe once. Like, it was just really as background. And then we had a flipboard so that I could write on it. We did have two cameras, so that helped with the camera angles for the flipboard and things like that. That was really important. Again, working with a team of experts, they were able to tell me, you're actually going to need this, and two cameras better than one, all that stuff. Anything else on the stage setup that you want to add?
I don't think so. The drapes, seriously, if you're wanting to create more of an in-person feel in a virtual event, the drapes made such a massive difference from the trainings that we were doing. Like, it made it look so much more polished. I will mention that I noticed in the photos that you took, while we didn't have a professional photographer, you had Ashley take some photos while you're all looking fantastic. Dark drapes and dark hair, if you're thinking of pulling the person out of the photo, does not work.
I totally thought about that. Actually, I was like, this is like, Ashley was like, this is popping so great. And I was like, but what about the dark hair with the dark background? I'm not sure that there's a way of, like, I'm not dyeing my hair red. So there you go. You know,
how about being blonde?
I actually have in the past. I do not look good as a redhead or a blonde, just for the record. But yeah, it makes it more challenging from that perspective, but it does make it more elegant. So trade-offs.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. What else? We just have a few more things that I want to cover, and then I'm going to open it up for you to see if you have any other things on your list to cover. One thing that I will say in terms of the two cameras and the camera angles, things like that, we did a VIP after party, which was part of our VIP ticket upgrade, where they, you know, we took a half an hour break after the final teaching session, where people could just, you know, clear your head, talk to your kids, whatever, go for a run, bio break, whatever it is. And then we did this VIP after party, which was, again, on Zoom, different Zoom lines, so that it was private to just the people who had the VIP ticket. And it was a master level teaching, so bonus teaching just for the people who were on that call, and I was sitting in a different place. I was sitting on my living room couch that I think is pretty sexy. It has a different vibe and a different feel than the stage feel. And Crescent Events was, Matthias was able to like set up this other camera and set it up in a place where the angle would work so I could be looking at people at the same time as looking at the camera. So just from a tech, you know, we didn't do a bunch on tech. Tech is not, obviously, like, I'm not the expert here, but we had a bunch of stuff going on. Let me just throw out some of the things. Two cameras. We had the wireless mic, obviously. We had a giant television, so 60-inch TV where everyone was on the Zoom, like I could see people on the Zoom line. And let me just say that you can rent all of this stuff from companies who do this. I ended up buying a TV and a TV stand because I actually didn't have a TV. I've been, since I got divorced, I've been watching TV and videos and things on my laptop in bed, and it's been very cozy, and it's like time for a TV. Great, great option, great opportunity. Guess what? It's a business expense now. Woohoo! Right? You know, just a small little win there. So, yeah. So that we had, what else did we have in terms of tech that's important? We had another monitor set up for reading the chats, though it turned out for me that was not something that I could focus on and maintain much. So I was very grateful that you and Wendy were in there. I did read them occasionally, like if I was on a break or during a workshopping session, breakout session, and I wasn't fielding questions, I did look and read, and that was fun to see. We had an iPad timer. We had other screens. So we had a screen that was directly under the video camera for me to look at. And then there was the prep screen for another monitor for the slides that were coming up. This is all very similar to how live events in person are done. We had a clicker to, you know, move the slides forward. So there's all these little tech pieces that if you're doing, you need to plan for either renting or purchasing. And anything you want to add on that before I move on to my last point? 2 points.
No, I don't think so. Like you said, we are not the tech experts, so that's why we hired tech experts.
Correct. Okay, so two last things from my end. One is I want to talk about the feedback survey that we did, and then the other I want to talk about the offers that we did. So let's do the offers first. So, you know, we offered things at this event for people to work with us further, and we could have done that a lot better. It wasn't horrible or bad or anything like that, but we made some decisions differently than I do in in-person events. In-person events, I like to very low-pressurely present the offer at the first or second session of the first day, like right at the beginning, so that people have time to think about it, so they know it's on the table, so that they're not wondering, you know, what is she going to try and sell, or whatever that question that people have in their mind is. And then they can make a quick but good decision for themselves. You know, it's not that they can think forever, because there's always a reason to sign up at the event. But they also have enough time to think it through, and they're not rushed. And because this was virtual, and because we knew there were a lot of people that were making it work, right? I can't come Friday. I can only come Saturday. I can only come at this time or this time. You know, I triangulated the information that I was hearing, and I thought, let's not do it on the first day. There'll be a lot of people on Fridays that will be having to do work or have meetings or what, pre-existing meetings. Let's do the offer on the Saturday. I think that was a mistake. You know, 2020 hindsight, I think it felt rushed. I think we could have done it the first day. I think there would have been a way to record it for people and just share that part of it if they missed the first day training, we weren't sharing the recordings immediately with people. In fact, we were only sharing the recordings with the people who have the VIP ticket. That was one of the bonuses for that. And we were doing that 30 days after the live event because we really wanted people to come live and not just use it as like, I'm going to listen to this thing when I have time. It's too important. They need this information now. But human nature is, you know, you're juggling things. If you can do it later, people put things off. So we really wanted, that was one of our, why we wanted people to come in, how we incentivize people to come live. So I would have done that differently. I also would have only made one offer. So one thing that happened that was fascinating was after at the end of Saturday, I was checking in with a number of people via Facebook or text, and depending on how I knew them and how they participated in the first 2 days, the people that I thought, and then I knew there were a lot of people that I didn't know and didn't interact, so I wasn't engaged with them. That's sort of a lesson for next time. Maybe there would be a way to build that engagement a little bit more.
Definitely.
Yeah. But, you know, I reached out to a few people and some of them were saying, a number of them were saying, you know, I came to your previous event and I really wanted to do the Spirit of Wealth Mastermind and Masterclass. And I was hoping that's what you would offer. And I was like, really? That's so interesting. We only do that once a year. It's an annual program. So it runs, the next one's going to run January to December 2021. They want that, but that's 6 months from now. They need something now. Like I wanted to, the thing that I put in front of people was like something that they could start right now. And yet, you know, we're known for the Spirit of Wealth Mastermind and Masterclass. It gets such rave reviews. People have an amazing, just amazing experience, amazing results because we're results driven. So they have amazing results from it. And yet that's not what we were offering. So I literally Sunday morning was Skyping with Sarah and I was like, I got to talk to you right now. And then, you know, staff is like, holy shit, what are we doing? And, you know, like the team rallied. I'm intrigued to hear from your perspective how that went. But like we pulled off we decided in probably a 5 minute conversation, Sarah, on Skype.
Yeah, because you needed to be on in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was like, it was crazy. I'm like, this is what I'm hearing. I think we need to make a in the moment decision. And we put the offer together and we don't need to go into all the details of what that was, but we presented it that morning. And I think it threw people off. I don't think that would like kind of sales 101, like keep it simple. Don't confuse people. I mean, we did sell it. It wasn't like we didn't make sales to that end. And lots of people were happy about that. But the flip side was, I think a lot of people got confused and I think it did throw people off and it may have alienated people to have done that. So I wouldn't do that. So note to self, don't do that again. Like that was like end of day. My first like lesson learned with the team was, let's not do that again. If I ever try and do that again, talk me out of that, right? Like it seemed like such a great idea in the moment, but it wasn't. It just wasn't. And again, one of the things I teach is you have to take action. You have to take action quickly and you have to not go into guilt and shame about it if it doesn't have the result that you truly want, right? And adjust and learn from it, like without further ado. Like there was zero wonk or noise about it. It was just like, okay, next time we don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, from our side, like you said, you called me morning of Sunday and like, it's literally like when we're opening the doors, like, and that's what I'd been doing every morning. Like, oh, okay. It is exactly 10:30. I'm going to go open the doors. And like, I'm talking to you while I'm Skyping Wendy. Hey, can you go open the doors for me real quick? And we're coming up with this new offer. And as soon as we hang up, you know, behind the scenes, like I'm Skyping Wendy again. Hey, can you go make me some new order forms? Steph, I'm sorry. Can you add this to the dashboard? Can you make another landing page? And I know that I keep saying this to our thing, but our team is so incredible. Cause you know, it's just like, yeah, we can go do that. No problem. But yes, definitely some other logistical things that came up was, you know, we'd had people that had purchased the offer the day before, so we had to figure out how that works for them. And, you know, like some of the confusion, if you had some people already thinking about that offer and that we've put a new offer in there, that definitely muddies the water a little bit. So while it was an outstanding offer and we did sell that offer, it's a lesson learned for sure.
Yeah. So we now have a pinky swear deal. Don't let me do that again. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. So, and then the last thing that I want to share is about getting feedback from people and the feedback survey that we did. And then if you have anything else, I'm going to turn it over to you and we'll wrap from there. So we did a feedback survey and we made it a very simple feedback survey in so much as like, I wanted it to be super easy. We had a lot of questions for people, but let's make it a choose your star, like 1 out of 5 stars, so that they're not having to type or write lengthy answers. And so we really developed it in a way that was an easy to answer survey. I think that's super important if you're asking people for something, not to have it take up too much time, to have it be easy. But we did, we tried to get fancy with the tech and do this logic jump, and it cut off our last question, which was, do you have any additional thoughts for us? Because you always want to give people the ability to, you know, open-ended feedback, because you might not have asked the question that allows them to answer that. So that was a little, you know, disappointing. But, you know, I've reached out to people and I'm asking for that feedback. And, you know, so I personally, even as the owner of the company, at some point it won't be me, it will be someone else. But I really want to make sure that I'm getting that feedback. And that is something that for many years, I was resistant to raising my hand to this. I did not want to be told like that we had room for improvement. Like I was like, we put on a great event. Please just appreciate it. Right. And that,
it's terrible.
It's terrible. Right. But you know, it's been years since I've had that attitude, but that was my attitude at one point. And things have changed and we got stellar feedback. Like we got, you know, outstanding feedback. There was one person who was quite triggered by the sales on situation, the offer on Sunday. However, it was within the framework of, you know, her understanding of where she was at in her business and what she wanted. And I have a lot of appreciation for that. And the thing to take in from a business owner is you're triangulating that information and you're saying, so is this person's perspective, the perspective, is it representative of where the majority of my women are at? Is it representative of my ideal client who's ready to step forward, right? Like you have to put it within a context and not take it personally and not discount it either. Okay. There's always a grain of truth, even if it's not like 100% the thing that you're going to adjust. There's always a grain of truth there and you need to take it in. So, but I will say that, you know, I've coached so many clients on things like this, and feedback like that can be, you know, if you don't know how to interpret the world, you can take it personally, and you absolutely can't. It can't be, that cannot be your attitude about it. And so there's that. And then the other thing around the feedback survey is that we did it at the as like an afterthought, like, could you please fill this out? And we put it in our follow-up emails. And I even thought about this, Sarah, and I didn't do it. And, you know, lessons learned. I wanted to do it before one of the 15-minute breaks to give people the time to do it, or to do it during the actual event. Can you take 5 minutes right now? And we're going to do it as a breakout session, like go answer the survey. We'd really appreciate it. And
a great idea for next time to make it a specific, like, this is what this 5 minutes is designated for. It's going to take you only 5 minutes. Just go do it right now.
Correct. Exactly. And I had that idea and I didn't do it, and my bad. But you know, it's just one of those things. People love things, and we probably got, I don't know, 20%. I would have to go back and look at how many feedback surveys we got out of the number of people that we had in attendance. And it's really, it's like out of sight, out of mind. Doing that, and we could do that for the testimonials too. Here's 5 minutes to leave a testimonial, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to, but there you go. So, any last thoughts, Sarah, from your perspective, things that we haven't shared?
I don't think so. My last thought on feedback is, it's such an important piece, because the reality of the world right now, we've never done a virtual event before, but the reality of the world right now is going to require us to do more virtual events. Like, we're definitely in-person event people, but you know, we've made the pivot, and those pieces of feedback are good in any event, but especially when it's an event type that we've never done before. So those things help us make the next virtual event just extra amazing. Like, and some of them are just little things like, oh geez, why didn't we think of that? And just so helpful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to wrap this up with one last thing, which is, if you would like to experience the Unstoppable Woman Income Breakthrough Summit, right, and come to our next virtual summit, you are cordially invited. Truly, we would love to have you there. This is a 3-day virtual summit, and it's designed to help you really scale your dreams, get out of your own way, achieve your goals, and find that level of not only financial freedom, but personal freedom as well. So if you are ready to eliminate the confusion and move through your blocks, have the courage to scale and really go for it, please join us. It's going to be in November 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to be virtual. We are pivoting to virtual. And if you register now, you will save 70% off of the regular ticket price. So instead of the ticket being $497, your super early bird savings is $147. And that's only through Tuesday, August 4th. And then the ticket prices go up. We would love, love, love to have you join us and do the VIP upgrade and see how we scale up and how we improve. Because we do this each time. It's iterative. That's one of my favorite words. Like, to go to the next level, you have to go to the next level. So please join us, see how we do that. And would love to have you in our community and work with you live virtually. Okay. With that, this is a wrap. Have an awesome day. Be unstoppable and keep rocking it out. Thank you so much for joining us and for being a part of the Unstoppable Woman movement. I want to let you know that we've got a ton of free resources for you for scaling your business at theunstoppablewoman.com/free-stuff. Please go ahead and check those out. And we'd also love your help in getting the message out. Share this podcast with all the unstoppable women in your life, your friends, your colleagues, your business besties. Please do that. And if you're game, we'd super duper duper appreciate a review on iTunes as well. Thanks so much, and be unstoppable.